To this sermon is the day of his power. Can we say that together? The day of his power. Open your Bible to Psalm 110. And I'd like someone to help me to read verse 1 to 4. Now I just need two versions there. I need New King James Version and King James Version. Psalm 110 verse 4. Psalm 110 verse 4. Yes, he's ready. Thank you. The day of his power.
Psalm 110 verse 4. I'm reading King James Version. The Lord has sworn, and I will not repent.
Verse 1 to 4.
Verse 1 to 4, sorry. Verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I have made thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. Continue.
In the beauties of holiness.
In the beauty of what? Holiness. So there's a connection between holiness and power. Continue.
From the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth.
Okay, we can stop there. That's fine. Let's have New King James Version, Psalm 110, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 110, please pass it to your son. Psalm 110, verse 1 to 3. New King James Version.
The Lord's said to my Lord.
The Lord said to my Lord. I hope that doesn't confuse you. The Lord said to who? My Lord. How many Lords there? How many? The Lord said to my Lord. The Father said to what? The Son. Amen? Continue.
Still at my right hand.
Is that your seat?
Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power.
Your people shall be what? Volunteers. Or, I prefer the King James that says, they shall be willing in the day of your power. Amen? What is the Lord saying to my Lord? He says, sit down. He didn't say sit down. He says, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies what? So you know what? You know that's God's plan in your life. Amen? All the things that are oppressing you. Yeah? All the things. I'm talking about the kingdom of darkness here. Amen? The real thing oppressing your life is the kingdom of darkness. The enemy will walk through people, but people are not the original enemy. Amen? There's a force behind it. Yeah? There's a force behind it. That force is just feeding on the flesh. Yeah? It's using the flesh. But the real enemy you have, your real adversary, is who? It's the devil. And it's not singular. Because you have the devil, and you have evil spirits under the devil. The devil is not everywhere at the same time. Yeah? But there are evil spirits everywhere. Yeah? The ones in England speak English. The one in Spain, they speak what? Spanish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God's plan is to make your enemies, or the enemies of the Lord, what? It's footstool. To put them under. Amen? To put them what? Under. Bible says we shall trample upon what? Snakes and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing. Somebody say nothing. Amen. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, for example, if you discover that you're having a dream. Yeah? And in your dream, you felt you had something that you shouldn't have eaten. Yeah? Or you swallowed something that you shouldn't have swallowed. When you wake up, yeah? Don't keep quiet. Confess. Say, whatever I took You won't hurt me. Because the Bible says, nothing shall by any means what? Hurt me. You have to take hold of it. That's how the power of God works. It works by faith. You take hold of it. Hallelujah. He said the Lord will send the rod of his strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of what? His enemies. Now say, your people shall be what? Willing in the day of your power. You know what that means? When God's power flows in your life, grace abounds. Amen. Grace what? Abounds. You can do what you couldn't do in your own power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you enter the frequency of God, the power of God flows. The supernatural becomes possible. Hallelujah. Someone was preaching, said, you know, God never did any miracle. Please understand what I'm trying to say. You know why? Because everything that God does is what? A miracle. Amen. Everything God does is supernatural. Hallelujah. That's who he is. By definition, he is God. Yeah? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He made man in one day. He doesn't need billions of years. Hallelujah. He doesn't need billions of years. He is God. He could even make man in 1 second if he wants to. And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? After all, how did God make the animals? He just commanded it. Let the ground produce. Let the ground produce. Let the ground produce. And it produced. And that's why you have so many species. Yeah? So many. Yeah. Many kinds and much more species. Because it produced. It's just by the word of God, by the command of God. That's who God is. Hallelujah. Bible says, through the word, he made all things. That's by his word. That's how powerful God is. Amen. He said, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. When God's power flows in your life, yeah? Nothing shall be impossible to you. Hallelujah. It will lift you up from the miry clay and from the horrible pit, and it will set your feet on solid ground. Hallelujah. So you say when you say, God is lifting me up from the miry clay, from the horrible pit, and he's setting my feet on solid ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about the day of his power. And when I talk about the day of his power, I'm not talking about just one day. I'm talking about the season. Hallelujah. We're in a season. We are what? In a season where the power of God will flow more in our lives than before. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Joel chapter 2. Can we put up that second mic? Whoever has it. Joel chapter 2. Joel is after, you should find it easy, after Daniel, Uzziah, Joel. Ezekiel, Daniel, Uzziah, and what? Joel, before Amos. Are you there? Joel, whichever way you like to call it. Joel. Amen. It was today's word. They'll call him Joe. Are you there? Joel chapter 2. Verse 23. Yes, let me have my mic. Somebody else to read. Joel 2:23, yes. Who has it? Joel 2:23. The day of his power. Or you can say the days of his power. In the days of his power, his people shall be empowered. His people shall be engraced. His people shall be lifted. His people shall be willing. The impossible becomes possible. impossible. Hallelujah. You are lifted from the valley to the mountain top. That which oppressed you before, now you're beginning to dominate it. Hallelujah. God says, don't consider the former things. Don't remember the things of old. Because why? I've not left business. Amen. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. God is not limited by the cost of living crisis. He is not in crisis. Amen. He is where? On the throne. And he's always doing a new thing. He said, when men say there is casting down, what we say there is what? A lifting up. God is not limited. Yeah? By the situation around you. If you trust him, if you believe him, he will lift you up. Hallelujah. And he will what? He will turn you around. And what will he do? And he will set your feet what? On solid ground. Amen. Yes, Job 2. Who is reading? Yes, go for it. That was verse what again? 23. Thank you. You are attentive. Go for it.
New King James Version. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month.
Amen. Hallelujah. That verse sounds like Isaiah. We can go there. Say, rejoice and be glad. Because, firstly, God has given you what? The former rain. You've had a taste. Hallelujah. You have had a taste of his blessing. Anybody ever tasted God's blessing? Anybody ever tasted God, you know, healing them or just doing something for them that you know that this must be God? Yeah? That's the former rain. Amen? Yeah? Anybody ever put castor oil on their side and everything changed? That's the former rain. That's the former rain. Amen? That's the former rain. Hallelujah. That's the what? Former rain. Anybody ever been told, you know, that, you know, you have this condition and things cannot improve, but you saw things improve? That's the former rain. Hallelujah. You have tasted what? The former rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But he says that's not the end. That's just, you know, God is always in business. That's not the end. He said, what I want to do for you now is give you both the former and the latter. Hallelujah. There's more. There's more to what God wants to do in your life. And there's more to what God can do in your life. If you trust him, if you believe him. Hallelujah. Don't stay in the valley. Don't stay where? In the valley. Life must have pushed you. Situation must have happened. Anything can make you be in the valley. It may have been your fault. It may not have been your fault. Yeah? Jesus Christ was crucified. Yeah? And he died on the cross. Was it his fault? No. Whose fault? Whose fault?
My fault.
It was me and you, me and Brother Alan, yeah, that ganged up together to kill Jesus. And we were all supported by his wife. Amen. You have to take ownership of it. Amen. I know you say it that way. You say he died for me. Yeah? He died for my sake. He died on my behalf. He died all because of me. It was for me. Hallelujah. It was for me. Hallelujah. What was the question again that I asked? Did you remember? Why did he die? It was for me. Hallelujah. He went. He died. But he did not stay there. Amen. He did not stay in the grave. When Jesus said it is finished, it did not mean I am finished. Amen. What did he say? It is finished. Not I am finished. You are not finished. And God is not finished with you. Hallelujah. Life might have hit you hard. You might have gone to a situation that you did not plan for. Yeah? Whether it was your fault or not your fault. But don't stay in the valley. Hallelujah. You might have made a mistake. People make mistakes. Even pastors. Amen? But don't stay there. Because there is a new day. Hallelujah. And that day is the day of his power. He's doing a new thing. Plug in to it. Hallelujah. Don't live in the past. Hallelujah. Because God wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen. So he rose. He rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Hey, did he stop there? No. He ascended. Hallelujah. He ascended back to heaven. Heavenly places. You know where he is now? He is seated. I'm quoting Colossians, I believe. He is seated in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. The Bible says that. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. That's the heavenly places. Hallelujah. This is beyond the cross. This is resurrection. Hallelujah. This is ascension. This is the victory we are living in. Sit down at my right hand. He's not going back to the grave. Hallelujah. He's not going back to the valley. He's been lifted. He's sitting. Hallelujah. Until his enemies have made what? He's forced to. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants to put down all the things that have oppressed you. All the things that have been written against you. You see, the things written against you are not only legal. Amen? They're not only legal. When you go to the health center, sorry, I said it that way, and they tell you you have a condition, it is written against you. Amen? And they are not against you, don't misunderstand. The doctors are not against you, but that thing that was written is against you. Is he your friend? Hello? It's written against you. When they tell you that, look, you can never, you know, be better than this. You can never achieve more than this. You know, this is the limit to who you could ever be. It is written against you. Hallelujah. But I said, it came to wipe out what was written against us. Hallelujah. That's what he came to do. That's how you rule. Those are your enemies. Hallelujah. The limitations. The addictions. Everything that is trying to pull you back from entering God's plan and God's destiny for your life. Yeah? Those are the things that are your enemies. But God wants you to rule. Where? In the midst. Of your enemy, he wants to rule down in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah. He wants to prepare a table before you right in the midst of your enemies. Someone say, why? To show forth his glory. Amen. To show forth his glory. Why do you ever go through any hard time in life? Why didn't God just fix your life? Make your life perfect. Like that of Superman. Is Superman's life perfect? I didn't see it. There's always something to fight. Otherwise, they will not send the movie, yeah? Amen. It's because he wants to take the glory from your victory. Hallelujah. You see, if you look at the story of Job. Sometimes, I think Job is a very misunderstood book, but I think there's a reason why God put it there so that you can't run away from it. Amen. God introduces Job to you. It's not Job writing his own CV. God wrote Job's CV. There are few men that God will just write their CV. Yeah. He's telling the devil, have you found my servant Job? Yeah? He's upright. God, it's not Job saying I'm upright. It's God saying I'm blameless. Hallelujah. God is boasting about Job to the devil. The devil was minding his own business. No. The devil never minds his own business. Amen. It's the devil. Where are you coming from? So I'm going to and fro. And fro. Yeah? And First Peter tells us what he's going to and fro doing. Like a what? Roaring lion. He's seeking what? Whom to devour. Hallelujah. Where are you going? I'm going to. So God said, come. Have you seen my servant Job? He's upright. He's blameless. Hallelujah. God was boasting on him. That's what God wants to do with your life. God wants to bring you to a place where he can boast on you. Hallelujah. His people shall be willing in the day of his power. I want you to trust God to empower you. I want you to trust God to what? To empower you. He wants to make something beautiful of your life. Hallelujah. Because it's the one that made you. And it's the one that is working in you. Hallelujah. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. He is the one that will make you become the most beautiful version of yourself. Amen. Sorry, you know me, Pastor Ben. No makeup can do that. Amen. It's God that will make you become the most beautiful. He will walk in you. Hallelujah. He will walk in you. He will walk in you and he will empower you with his grace. Hallelujah. You will overcome the things that have oppressed you in the past. And I know that I'm saying that based on my own testimony, you will look at some things that you've been struggling that one day you just find that I'm no longer struggling. Amen. You look at it, but it's no longer you've ascended. You've what? To the next level. Hallelujah. It's the working of God's grace in your life. Hallelujah. Say with me, I receive grace. Oh, come on, say, I receive grace. Hallelujah. 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 God wants to make you the best version of yourself for his glory. So God boasted on Job. And the enemy came. God gave him permission. God invited him to he prepared the table for Job in the midst of what? His enemies. Yeah? Satan, do your worst. But don't kill him. Amen? Can you imagine how frustrated the devil will feel? He did his worst. But he couldn't bring Job down. Amen? What's Satan's goal in your life? He wants you to stop believing. He wants you to give up on God. And he also wants you to give up, yeah, on God's vision for your life. Just why can't you say, what are you doing? Why don't you curse God and die? That's what God, the Satan wants. He wants you to feel helpless and hopeless. Hallelujah. But Job else said. Job what? Else said. And God was glorified. Amen? But you see, Job did not remain there forever. In fact, you know, some Bible scholars believe that all that happened to Job happened within like about a year. Amen? It was just what? A year. How long did he say we're going through that experience? The asthmatic. You see? Job's experience was just like what? A year. It was terrible. Don't misunderstand me. But it was not a lifetime. Amen. It was a valley period. Hallelujah. It was a valley period. But when you go to the end of Job, God came through. He did not remain in the valley. God did not even let him remain where? In the valley. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he has gone through that experience, God giving a better revelation of himself. There are some things you don't know. I will show you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God blessed the end of Job. Read it. Last chapter. If you don't know any other thing, read Job verse chapter 1 and chapter 42. Please someone let me come check. What chapter is Job? Last chapter? Check in your Bible. Job chapter 1 and what's the last chapter? 42? Can someone just confirm that for me? 42! If you don't want to read any other thing in the middle, you don't like the middle, yeah? Just read verse 1. I started. And verse what? 42, how it ended. Amen. Bible says God blessed the latter end of Job. Amen. And the latter end of Job was far better than his beginning. Hallelujah. For everything he had and he lost, the Lord gave him back double. The Lord gave him back what? Double. Amen. The Lord gave him back double. Hallelujah. And the Lord stood to, there are some things there too that you need to read. The Bible says that the Lord gave him three daughters. And they were the most beautiful in the land. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Job lived. He lived to see his children's children unto the fourth. Please cross check my facts there. Check what the Bible wrote. Fourth generation. So let me just show you the timeline. So because we know Job had his seven sons and three daughters. Yeah? So let's assume that to have seven sons and three daughters, if you are very busy, if you space them 1 year or two years, and you start the journey around your 30s, 70s, something. Let's just assume that by this time that Job was going through the experience, it was around somewhere between 45 and 50. Yeah? It was a midlife crisis. It was what? A midlife crisis. Hallelujah. He went through what? A midlife crisis. But that's not the end. Amen. That's not, it was just temporary. Because now, yeah, when God restored him, yeah, he got another ten children. Yeah? Seven sons and three daughters. Yeah? So give him another 20 years to achieve that. Yeah? Or so. So now he's 60. And then he kept living. God had given him double of all his possessions. And he now enjoyed this blessing. Yeah? Until those children had children. Generation 2. And those grandchildren had children. Generation 3. And then those grandchildren had children. So if you do the maths well. Yes. Maybe another 100 years. You need like maybe 160, 170. By the way, if you are doubting that, check the age that which Abraham died. It was around 160 something. I don't know. Please let me cross check that again. I don't want to give you wrong facts. Can you see? That he did not remain in the valley. Hallelujah. The Lord lifted him. The Lord turned him around. And the Lord set his feet on the solid ground. Because that's what the power of God does in your life. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Acts. Let's finish this sermon in the book of Acts. So when the Lord is moving, both in your life and also in his church, he sends both the former and what? The latter. Now you may ask me one question. Say, why does he have to send the latter? Or what happens between the former and the latter rain? Let me ask you. I'm preaching a lot. Let me ask a little. Where's my mic? Ellison. What happens between the former rain and the latter rain? Or let me change the farming language. What happens between the early rain and the latter? What happens in that gap? Or let's say, why is the former rain not enough? Why do you need the latter rain? Same question. Anybody help me? Take it from physical. Why do you need two rains? Why not one? It's a planting season. Yeah? The former rain comes. Why is that not sufficient to lead you to harvest? Why do you need the latter rain? I can see that most of you are not farmers. You don't understand. Okay, I'll leave us an assignment. You want to try?
Sure, but my dad used to plant yam a lot. From his description, I might say, he will say that the little rain has come. He said, but it's going to be very, very dry now. And he said, he said, the drier it is, then the better the yam will do when the rain starts coming, that the yam will grow so big. So he said, so sometimes he would touch, he said, man, it's going very, so the yam will do well because it's so dry now. Goodness me. You know, he said, he would say the rain, the little rain has come, but that later it will be so heavy and the yam will do well. So I'm thinking, if that is the case, which means that the little rain is just showing you a foretaste of what will come later. But in between, there will be a waiting time that might actually look like, man, it's never going to come. Like, now it's dry. How can it ever come?
You know, hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you. You've helped me. Now you can see why you married her. You can see that there was some farming background somewhere. Amen. Amen. The former rain, you know what I like about the description? Is the little rain. Amen. Is the foretaste. Is the prepper. Is prepping. Hallelujah. The former rain is to prep. Prep. Hallelujah. But there's something much more. And there's something much better. Not just in your life, but even as a church. That there's a rain coming upon this church that is better than that which has happened in the past. Amen? Whatever you've tasted in the past as God moving, He wants to move in the greater measure. He wants to move in the greater measure. That's why I say it's the day of His power. This 2025 is the day of His power in this church. Hallelujah. Now you see what happens between the former and the last rain. There's a season of what? Oh, dryness. It looks as if, you know, oh, where's the effect? Hallelujah. Everything is in seasons. To everything there's a time, and there's a season to every purpose. That interval between the former and the latter is not wasted. Yeah? That seed that was planted is also doing something under the ground. Amen? It's taking root. Amen? It's what? The former rain is for the seed to take root. Amen. For the foundation to be well laid. Amen. But now, it's time to build. Hallelujah. We're not just building one floor. It's time to build the skyscraper. Amen. And that's why the higher the building, the greater the work on the foundation. Hallelujah. When the latter rain comes, it's much better than the former rain. Hallelujah. God will do greater things. Hallelujah. God will do new things. Bible said the glory of this latter house shall surpass that of the former. Hallelujah. The glory of this latter house shall surpass what? That of the former. Apply to your life. Maybe God has moved in your life before. Maybe there was a time in your journey that you really felt like you're on fire. Or you feel that God is touching me. Or God is moving. And then there was a season of what? Of dryness. You went into down the valley. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like you went down the valley. Sometimes you feel that you went down the drain. But God is not finished. Amen. God is not what? He's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. He will bring you back from the brink. Because He does it. Ezekiel 37. The Spirit of the Lord led Ezekiel into the valley of dry bone. Amen. So one of the questions we need to ask ourselves when we think about that valley of dry bones is, how did the bones end up in what? The valley. Amen. We'll get the answer from what God did. When God finished with them, they became what? An exceedingly great army. So that means that before then, before they became bones, they were a great army. Amen? They were a great army. But they were hit. Yeah? Something hit them. And they became bones. Abandoned in the valley. Hopeless, helpless. Amen? But his people shall be willing in the day of what? Of his power. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit came. You know, the beautiful thing about it is that it's God who initiated the move. Hallelujah. What could the bones do? But let me tell you, it's not only God. Amen? It's not only God. God found a man. Amen? God found what? A man who could agree with him. God found a man who could release his faith. His name was Ezekiel. Yeah? Have you ever thought about it? Why didn't God just raise the bones? Why does he need Ezekiel? Does God need Ezekiel to raise bones? I mean, like, strictly speaking, he can do all this. But maybe yes also, because God's always looking for a man. I searched for a man. Yeah? In fact, when God was going to save our souls, he became a man. Amen? He could not save our souls without becoming what? A man. Hallelujah. He looked for a man who could come down, live, and die, yeah, and rise again. Hallelujah. And of course, in the test of salvation of our souls, there's no perfect man. So God himself had to do it. Amen? But in every other thing God is doing on the earth, he's looking for someone. Hallelujah. He can find somebody. If God can find somebody. Somebody who will agree with him. Someone who will believe in him. You see, unbelief. That's why unbelief is a terrible sin. Because when there's unbelief, you can't cooperate with God. When there's unbelief, God is offering something, but you can't take it. Let's see how we're doing time. Let me try to explain that principle because it's going to help somebody. When there's unbelief, God is offering something, but you can't take it. It's God, that something, is God that packaged it. He already done the work, but your job is to be able to take it. When you take what God is offering, it will make the change you need in your life. But unbelief stops you from taking it. Amen. Hallelujah. You take it. You take it. You take hold. There's such a scripture. It says, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I don't remember the verse. It said verse. It sounds, somewhere in my head, it sounds like 12 or 14. It said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on life. Lay hold. Lay hold. Take it. Lay hold. Lay hold. Lay hold. Lay hold. The life has been given. It's in Christ Jesus. It has been released for you. Lay hold on it. And don't let it go. If you lay hold, your story must change. Hallelujah. It's not the castor oil. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. You lay hold on it. You take it. You take it. You are? You take it. Because God is working. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts. Let's finish in Acts. Acts chapter 6. I'll just show you two verses there and then we'll finish. These are the days of his power. God is working. And what I'm trying to make you say to you in this sermon is, plug in. Plug in. There is power in the socket. There is power where? In that socket now. Plug in. Acts chapter 6. Can someone read for me quickly? Acts chapter 6, verse 5. I'll be cutting you when I need to cut you. Acts 6, 5 first. Where's the mic? Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Yes? Who's ready? Yes. Acts 6, 5.
And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, thank you, sir. They chose who? Stephen. Who was Stephen? That's his description. He doesn't tell us his height. Doesn't tell us his skin color. Yeah? Doesn't tell us his tribe. Yeah? Doesn't tell us his class. His economic class. What was David? He was a man full of faith and of the. You see what comes first? His faith. It tells you to plug in. Hallelujah. It tells you to take hold. It tells you to receive what God is offering to you. Hallelujah. It's a man full of faith. One of the things that we hinder your faith is being fearful. Or another word for it is being cowardly. When you are fearful, you can't take hold of what God is offering you. Hallelujah. You are too conscious of yourself or for other people. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You take hold. He was full of faith. And of what? The Holy Spirit. He was, what was he full of? He was full. He wasn't just having faith. He was full of it. Mm-hmm. And he was full of what? That's something to aspire to. That's something you can be. It's possible. Stephen was not an apostle. He was just somebody called to serve what? Tables. In fact, everybody called him was just one of the disciples, one of the general people. But he was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. That means that he belongs to you. Whether you are young or a bit over older or much older. You can be full of what? Of faith. You apply yourself to it. You give yourself to it. You can be full of the Holy Spirit. Someone say, how can I be full of faith? You feed. You feed on the word. Amen? You feed. And feeding is not just reading your Bible. It's a whole lot of ways to feed. Hallelujah. You read, you study, you fellowship. You engage.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You believe. You confess. Amen. You obey. You apply. Amen. You persevere. You persevere in the word. You'll be full of faith. Amen. Amen. And then he was full of what? The Holy Spirit. How are you going to be full of the Spirit? You drink. See, the word of God is living bread. And the Spirit of God is living water. You drink. So say, how do you drink? It's a simple way. You cannot drink of the Holy Spirit without prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When you do that, when you feed and drink, you'll be full. Amen. Okay, someone quickly read me from verse 8. We finish it there. Verse 8. Same person. Verse 8. Yes.
Yep. And Stephen, full of faith and power.
Okay. So, you know where they chose him? They said he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I just want to say that the same thing. Yeah. Now, he's describing that he's full of faith and what?
Power.
When you are full of faith and the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. power of God will flow in your life. Mm-hmm. And it will benefit you and other people around you. Yeah. And that's where we want to be. Yeah. Hallelujah. We don't want to remain in the valley. Yeah. Limping. Yeah? And frog jumping. No. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we may be in the valley, but we're not going to stay in the valley. Hallelujah. We are on our way back to the mountain top. Hallelujah. It's the day of his power. His people shall what? Be willing. Hallelujah. That willingness is the activation of your faith. It's the activation of your believing God. If you have vision of your taking hold and say, yes, Lord, I'm not remaining here. Hallelujah. I am called to higher ground where the eagles fly. Hallelujah. I want to fly on eagles' wings. Hallelujah. You know the animal that the eagle represents? I mean, the person that the animal eagle represents the father. Yeah? The lamb and the lion represent the son. The dove represents the Holy Spirit. But it says those who wait upon the Lord. Yeah? They shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with what? Wings. As what? As the eagles. The Bible says when the Lord was leading them from Egypt, leading them through to the promised land. Yeah? He led them on eagles' wings. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's rise up. And I say, Lord, I take hold of your power. I take hold. I refuse to be managing in the valley. I refuse that which life has written against me. You know, life can write against you. It just tell you that this is the condition. This who you are. Yeah. You are finished. Jesus is not saying I'm finished. He said it is what? Finished. It is the problem that must be finished. Hallelujah. It is the problem. Whatever the problem is. He said, who art you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become what? A plate. I don't care if it doesn't have to be another person. That's my own case. And that testimony will be complete. Because God is working. It is not by my own power or my mind, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. You take, say, Lord, I take hold of your power. Let your power be made manifest in my life. I take hold. I will not. I refuse to be mediocre. I refuse to be kicked about by the devil. I refuse to be kicked about by a condition. Whether it's a physical condition or a mental condition or a emotional condition or a financial condition or a relationship condition. I refuse to be kicked about. I choose to rise with you. On your wings is the wings of the eagle. Ah, it's the wings of the eagle. Ah, hallelujah. I choose to rise with you. Oh, and to fly and to soar on that wings. I take hold by faith everything you want to do in my life in 2025. You pray one more prayer. Say, Lord, as your power begins to move in this church in 2025, I'm telling you there's a latter rain. I'm telling you there what? There's a latter rain upon this church in this year. You can go back on and ask the Holy Spirit if you want to be double sure. The prayer is, Lord, as you begin to move in this church, as your latter rain begins to fall in this church, I want to plug in completely. That's how you're going to fly. Hallelujah. I want to plug in to that anointing, that power, that rain. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to be on the sideline. And I don't want to be left behind. I plug in to these days of your power. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Bibles, they became an exceedingly great army. Not just a great army. That was their former mission. But now what? An exceedingly. When God finished his work of reviving them, they will now become an exceeding. That the latter end. That's how the book of Job finishes. He says, so the latter end of Job was greater than his beginning. Pray. I said, Lord, that's what I desire in my life. Lord, that my latter state will be much better. You know, than the state in which the dryness came and the devil walked and life walked. But I'm bouncing back. I'm getting better. Oh, I'm operating in greater power, greater anointing. I'm operating in greater beauty and glory. I'm walking in the beauty of holiness. The dew of the morning, the womb of the morning, the dew of youth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the new thing you have begun in this church and in every life in this church. Thank you because all of us will plug in. We will partake of it. And Lord, not only that, others will come to partake of this move of the Spirit. All over Basingstoke and Hampshire, there will be a witness to your power and to your glory. Lord, in this church and through this church, in Jesus' name, amen.